Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, Pastor Schoen really hit the key there when he said, receive the word. So that's what we're here. We're not just here to give a message, to get our ears tickled, if it were. But we're here to receive the word of God. Scripture says that every word of God is God-breathed. It says that in 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, the word of God, it's God-breathed. God breathed into it. Just like when he created Adam. He formed him and he breathed into him the breath of life. So that's what we're receiving here. When we receive the word of God, we're receiving God's breath, God's life. It's life. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So Lord, thank you that we get this opportunity to hear your words this morning. We get to hear your words of life. And that life gets inside of us. That life changes us. That life empowers us. That life heals us. Makes us closer, brings us closer to you, to your heart. And so, Lord, we thank you. We are ready and we declare that we do receive. Now, we commit to receive your word in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, the word that the Lord gave me is actually something that he's been speaking to me about personally for some time. And so, it's time that he wanted also to share it because that's what he told me to do. So, I want to start off with a couple questions. How many believe Jesus is coming back? Good. Scripture says it. We believe it. Second question. When?
When the Father tells him to come.
Yeah, the scripture is, we don't know. We don't know. Jesus told us in Matthew. There's a couple of times. There's a number of times. There's probably, there's half a dozen times where he said something along these lines that I have up on the screen there. Matthew, in Matthew 25:13, he says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So you don't know. Now he did tell us that we'll see some times and there'll be some things that'll help us be aware and that we can be observant and we can watch. But the key is here is to watch. Now, that word watch is not like we say, I'm going to go watch some television. I'm going to go watch a movie. I'm going to watch a ball game. That kind of watch is passive. It's spectator. This watch is like what a guard would do or a sentry would do when he's on watch. All right? There's a difference when that sentry's on duty. He's alert. All right? He's alert. He's ready to move. So that word watch is really key here. It's part of being vigilant. It's part of being prepared. When you're on duty, when you're on watch, you're prepared. You're prepared to act. You're watching for whatever it needs to be that you need to be aware of. So you're alert. Now, that word prepared is what I want to just focus on for a minute, because we talk about in these latter days. Does anybody believe that we're in the last days?
Yes.
A couple hands. You know, in Acts, when Peter was speaking, he referred to a prophecy by Joel that said that in the last days, and he was talking about what was happening then. So that was a fulfillment. Scripturally, we are in the last days. Scripturally, we have been in the last days. And we have been in the last days for a couple thousand years. And now, every day that we are here, we are one day closer. Now, we all said Jesus is coming. We know, we don't know the time. We don't know the hour. But we can see some things in the times. We can see some things, as Jesus said when he told his disciples, as you see the fig tree blossoming, as you see something happens, know that it's at hand. Now, end times can cause some people to get scared and fearful. But that's not why, but that's not necessary. Learn about ed time is not to be scared, but be prepared.
Yeah.
Jesus tells us to be prepared. And then this preparation is really key. And we talked about some different things, you know, that there's preparation that people are talking about doing in the natural. And what I want to look at today is something that from a preparation from a heart standpoint. Now, preparing your heart is very important. There's a couple scriptures that talks about in the Old Testament, God gave some examples. In the scripture in 2 Chronicles, chapter 27, in verse 6, it's talking about Jotham. Now, Jotham was one of the kings of Judah, and he was a good king. But in this scripture, it says, he became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. That's how he became mighty, because he prepared his heart. Now, prepared is mean you're taking some action, you're taking some steps beforehand to get ready for something. Now, contrast to this, we have Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon, wisest man that lived. At the beginning of his reign, the nation was split to Israel and Judah. Now, it said here, Rehoboam did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. So the preparation of the heart is very critical, and it's even more critical in the days we're living in. One of the things that you know, Jesus told us, he told us there to watch and be ready. And so be ready for these end days. So I want you to turn to Matthew 24. Because in that Matthew 24 is where Jesus is describing some things about the end days. And there's a verse that we're going to focus in on that really talks about some things that are really key, necessary in preparing our hearts for these days that we're living in. So in Matthew 24, we're going to look at starting at verse 3. And it says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they asked a couple different questions. They talked about, they just come from the temple and Jesus had told them about one stone's not going to be left on top of another stone. So they're curious about that. But they're also curious about the end of the age. They're also curious about when he's going to come back. So he's answering these questions. And the first thing Jesus says to him here in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Now that's so critical because it means that it's possible that they could be deceived. So you have to take heed. Take heed is the same thing he told us about watch. Watch, therefore. Be on guard. Be prepared. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be attentive. So take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. I am the Christ. I am the anointed one. I am the answer. I am your answer. I am your Savior. It's not the same. They might not say, I am the Christ. But I am your Savior. I am your answer. I am the one that you need to get you out of the trouble that you're in. And he said, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then verse 9, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my namesake. And verse 10 is the one that I want to focus in on. So all these things are coming, all these things are talking about end times, and in the midst of this, he's talking about something here still in end days that is very key. So in verse 10, he says, and then many will be offended. Many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Okay, now, that word offended is the one that I want to look at. Now, offended, offense is almost rampant today. Does anybody have any social media accounts? Ever see anything on social media? Ever see some post and somebody takes offense? And it's like, ah! It's like, whoa! And Christians. And you see some of the posts and say, that's a brother and sister in the Lord. And it's like, whoa! There's offense. And it seems to be bubbling over and seeping into our brothers and sisters. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by the love that you have one for one another. And here we have this offense. And it's I find it interesting that Jesus is telling us here in the midst of this last days that he's talking about offense. And he continues on about the love of many will grow cold and some other things. But these are things that we have to watch our heart and guard our heart and get our heart prepared so that we're not trapped by that. Now, what's interesting about that word offense in the Greek, it's skandaleozo, and then it's a root word of scandalon. We get our word scandal from that. But what that word in the Strong's Concordance says, it means a trap stick, or a trigger, or a bent sapling that's gonna trap. And so that's the ouch. Yeah, that's the ouch. And it's like a mouse trap. Now, if you think of a mouse trap, you got all this power tied up into this spring, and it's got this lever across, and there's that one little bitty trigger where the bait goes. And if you just move that a little bit, bam. Get that picture of that little bitty trap there? That's what the Strong's Concordance is referring to when we're talking about offense, that offended. It's that trap. Now, what's the purpose of that trap? Right. It's to destroy. Kill, steal, destroy. Who would have a trap set against us?
Satan.
That's who would try to ensnare us. In fact, if you look at 1 Peter, verse 5, chapter 8, I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, what's interesting is that word that says be vigilant. That word that's vigilant is the same word that was translated watch. So that same word that's translated watch in the earlier scripture that we looked at, it said watch therefore. It's the same word that says be vigilant, be sober, be watchful, because your adversary the devil is walking around. He goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he desires, seeking who he can trap, seeking who will take the bait. See who can be captured by that. And so, an offense, we already established offense is one of the ways that he can get that trap. That's that hook. That's that trigger that we can get into that would be trapped. That would allow us to be trapped by Satan. Now, has anybody ever seen anybody that was in offense? Yeah. Isn't it funny how we can see offense in somebody else easier than we can see offense in ourselves? Well, you know what I'm talking about, huh? Yeah. Isn't that funny? I remember, this was probably 20 years ago, and we were at another church, and we had an evening service, and I was helping with the offering, and I went out, and when I was coming back into the auditorium, a lady was heading out of the auditorium and she was heading toward the door and she was upset. So I said, is everything okay? And she's like, the ushers just told me da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was like, wow. It sounded like offense to me. And it seemed pretty obvious to me. And I was just about to say, you know, you're an offense. But I got stopped, and I believe the Lord gave me a word of wisdom, and he gave me a question just to ask her. And he said, "Did the Lord tell you to be here tonight?" And she stopped, and she said, "Yes." And I said, "And you're leaving?" "Well, the ushers just told me I had to do. And she went on again for a little bit. So I said, "Did the Lord tell you to be here tonight?" And she said, "Yes." "And you're leaving?" And it's kind of like, and she went back in. But you notice, had I just said, "You're an offense," do you think it would have been received?
No.
Do you think she saw herself an offense? No. Because what she saw was the usher, the person. The reason I'm like this is because of someone else. It's not me, it's someone else. And it's the same, we can be in the same thing. But you notice what, and that's why I believe was a word of wisdom that he gave me, because it took the attention off her, off the situation, and pointed it back to, what did the Lord say? Did the Lord tell you this? Did the Lord tell you this? And it's really key, because offense is very self-focused. It's in protecting ourselves, and we all have that. I mean, when we were born in sin, all right? We inherited a sin nature from our father Adam, way back. All right, he sinned, and we all were born with that nature. Now, what's interesting about when sin came, the other things that came also were self-centeredness and fear. What's the first thing after the fall that's reported Adam saying? He said, "I hid myself. I was afraid. I was naked, and we were afraid." Well, he was naked before, but he wasn't aware. He wasn't self-aware of it. He wasn't focused on and fear. So these two things with that sin nature came bundled along also, and it's part of what became part of our nature. But the good news is, if you're born again, that old man died. That old man died. And you're not subject to that. You still have a mind to renew, but that old man, you're not. That's not there anymore. That's what's. I'm going to make a little plug for baptism here, because part of what the whole baptism process here is that acknowledging when you're going under that water, that old man's buried. You come back out of that water. You leave the old man there. The old man's there. He's done. You're free. It's like, you can be like Paul told the Galatians, in chapter 2, verse 20. He said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not me, but Christ in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me." You don't have to. So that was my plug for baptism. So if you don't have if you were not baptized, or if you didn't have that recognition or that seeing what the power of baptism was, next week's a good time to see that, so you can grasp that. Even sometimes if you're just struggling with those thoughts of that old nature, because you've been set free, you've been crucified with Christ and raised, and now you're free. So you can live in that freedom. You can walk in that freedom. You can be free. So praise God, you don't have to be bound by offense. You don't have to be triggered by offense. But some of that's also going to be a renewing of your mind, and also dealing with your heart. Like I said, there was things that the Lord was showing me as I was going through this, as far as offense. Just like the lady, or just like I said earlier about, it's easier to see offense in someone else than to see offense on yourself. And sometimes we don't see it. Well, but what they did, or what they did, or what they did. I said, well, what's my response to what they did? And sometimes They may not have done anything, but I perceive something that it seemed to. There's a joke that Jim Richards tells in his book, How to Stop the Pain. And he's talking about these two guys that went to see a football game. And they're watching the beginning of the football game, and all of a sudden the one gets up, he's upset, and he goes, and he leaves. They're only in the first quarter. So his friend follows him out and says, What's wrong? He said, I can't take it anymore. It's too painful. He says, What's too painful? Those guys getting in that group and talking about me. Now we all laugh because we know the absurdity of that. We see the ridiculousness of that. Were the facts correct? Were they getting in groups?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, he could see it. He could see it. But what he concluded, what he judged, because of what he saw, then took him offense. He took an offense because of that. And so, but the pain wasn't any less real to him, even though the facts were groundless. And so we can laugh about that, but it also points back to ourselves too. How many times do we just take offense and no offense was given? I mean, if you think in terms of, look, if you look at Jesus, I remember the disciples came to him a number of times and said, the Pharisees, they were offended at what you said. Now Jesus, what, did he sin? He just told the truth. He told the truth in love. He loved them. But they took offense. So it's not always somebody else. It's not always, well, if you would just, we have to kind of look back at our own, because it's easy to get into deception. It's easy to think that it's somebody else, and it's really our own heart that needs to be adjusted. And it's really our heart that God can shine a light on and make adjustments in and make changes to. And a key way that he will do that will be just to teach you about, it's a word here, forgive. There's this word, forgive. And sometimes we swallow hard on that word. It's like, forgive. But you don't know what they did. It's like, you don't know what they did. And so we think that if we forgive, we're opening ourselves to hurt again. We think, well, if I forgive, I need to keep this shield up. I need to keep this wall up. If I forgive, I'm going to get hurt. And actually, the truth is, if you don't forgive, bitterness will get in. You get a root of bitterness, and it'll hurt. It'll destroy. It'll eat away. I don't know if anybody remember Corrie Ten Boom. And yeah, she was. From the Netherlands, she's Dutch. During World War II, her family saved Jews and helped them to hide, and then moved them out. And they were caught, and so they were arrested. Some of her family was killed. She and her sister were in a concentration camp, and her sister died in the concentration camp. They were treated brutally in the concentration. She was miraculously let go toward the latter part of the war. But for years, she would go around and preach, and she'd talk about the love of God. The love of God. And what's available about the love of God. And talk about these situations. And one time while she was sharing this, there was a person in the audience who had been a guard at that prison camp where she was. And he was particularly nasty and cruel to them. And this was the guard that was over her at that time, and over her sister. And her sister had died there, and a lot of other people had died there. And so after the service, this former prison guard came up and put out his hand and asked, Corrie, would you forgive me? And she was like, Lord, it was real, this struggle. I mean, this was rough. And she's telling the Lord, I can't, but you can. And so she let him forgive him through her. And that released her and it released him. That power of that forgiveness, it's freeing. It really is. It's freeing, and it's a word that we don't doesn't roll off our tongues easily, either asking for forgiveness or giving forgiveness. I think we like to put a qualifier. Would you forgive me? And I say yeah. But the reason I did that was because you did this. You know, and it's like we want to qualify asking. Yeah, well, I'll forgive you, but I think I need you to grovel a little bit more or something. You know, I mean, we get our flesh involved. But aren't you glad that God doesn't do that to us? Could you imagine? I mean, if we had to pay a little bit of our own for that, but he doesn't. And it's the same Jesus. When Paul was saying, it's no longer I that live, but Jesus in me. See, in that life that I now live, I can live by his faith. You know, it takes faith to forgive. It does. We won't have time to go there, but if you want to find more, in Luke chapter 17, the disciples, or Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's talking about offense. And he's talking about woe to the fences and talking about it. And so for the first five verses there, he's talking about offense and he's talking about forgiving. And he's talking about if your brother comes and asks for forgiveness seven times in a day, then forgive him. And you know what the disciples' response was? Lord, increase our faith. That's the next verse. After he's talking about offense and he's talking about forgiveness, their response is, Lord, forgive. Lord, increase our faith. Because it's like, what? How can you do this? And he said, I got to do this by faith. There's another one. I do want you to turn to this one. This is in John. John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, this is after Jesus rose from the dead. And I'm going to go over to verse 20. Let's go to 22. So Jesus had risen from the dead, and he came and appeared to the disciples in the room. And in verse 22, he said, let's go back to verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I wonder sometimes, is this when they got born again? Because is this when they got born again? He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because just like in Genesis, when it says that God formed Adam, and what did he do? He breathed into him the breath of life. And then Adam fell, and we became spiritually dead. Now here's Jesus after the resurrection. And he sees them, and he breathes on them, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Born again. Life in you. Now, I wouldn't make a doctrine out of that, but I just see the symbolism there is so powerful. In other words, you have the power of God, you have the life of God in you. Now, this is different than the power of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the being baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is different than that. But in here, it says, but what I want to show here is he says, receive the Holy Spirit. And what's the first thing he says after he tells them, receive the Holy Spirit? If you forgive. Yeah. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. He's talking about forgiveness. Right after he says, receive the Holy Spirit, now forgive. I wonder if that was because in their own strength they couldn't. Remember when he talked to them about receive, if they come seven times in a day, forgive them. He said, boy, Lord, increase our faith. How can we do this? There was another time when Peter talked about, should I forgive him seven times? He said, not 70, but 70 times seven, not seven. So it's like all this, like, how can I forgive? How can I forgive? And that's the way we are. If we try to do this in our own strength, it ain't happening. But the good news is, you don't have to do this in your own strength. It's not required on you to perform this. It's required of you to allow Jesus to perform it through you. You can go along for the ride on this. Let him do it. Let him live through you. Even on this. Now, it is critical that you do this. Because I want you to, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because it's critical. I'm going to show you why here. In 2 Corinthians, this is Paul's, this is a follow-up to the 1 Corinthians, which is a letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. How about that? That's why they call it Corinthians. So he wrote it to the Corinthians, and he's really rebuking them on a number of things in 1 Corinthians. He's talking about some issues that they needed to have straightened out. Now, in 2 Corinthians, and they did. In the 2 Corinthians, he's writing another letter to them, and he's, they had straightened out some things. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Now, particularly, he's talking about a guy that was sleeping with his dad's wife. He had him correct him in the first one and said, do certain things. Now, he's talking specifically about that. But in the whole context here, he's talking about forgive, forgive, forgiven, forgiven. Four times in that verse, he addresses forgiven. Now, what's key about that is the next verse. Forgive, 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 lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, a lot of times we'll use that last phrase, we're not ignorant of his devices, to describe a lot of things. But in context, he's talking about unforgiveness. He's talking about, forgive, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Devices are strategies. Devices are traps. Remember the mouse trap? For we're not ignorant of his devices. But what's also key here is lest he should take advantage of us. Now think about this. He's writing to believers, all right? Believers who have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, who've been given authority, right, over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means harm you. Who are seated, who join heirs with Jesus, seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and rulers and names and every name that's named. We're talking about that, but yet, lest Satan should take advantage of us. Born again, spirit-filled, if you get into unforgiveness, it's a dangerous trap. Lest he take advantage of us. And that's what's really... It can be really like, whoa, this is serious. Offense is not something to play with. It isn't. It's nothing to be played with. You don't play with it. Say, be quick to forgive. Be quick to forgive. And the good news is, you can be quick to forgive. Because it's not you. It's not you. It's Christ in you. Just like Corrie Ten Boom said, I can't do this. But I'll let you do it through me. And then she actually experienced, it wasn't like, okay, you did it through me. When she reached out her hand, the compassion of God toward that man is what flowed through her. So she felt that love of God. And it wasn't her making doing it. It was the love of God that reached out and set him free. And that's the capacity, if you will, the capacity that we have, or the power that's in us, that power of forgiveness, that power of being able to release. When we looked at that verse in John, verse 20, 23, when he talked about forgive, it's also translated send away. It's used a number of times in the scriptures, but another verse of it is send away. So it's kind of like send that away. If it's been a hurt or something, just send it away. Don't let it camp. Don't let it camp in your heart. Don't let it camp in your mind. Don't let it camp, especially don't let it camp in your heart. Because we're talking about preparing your heart in these latter days. Don't let offense come in and make a foothold there. Make a hold, make a nest, make a stronghold there. Because it will, if you let it, set up camp. Make itself at home. And you have to be, like we said way in the beginning, watch therefore. Watch therefore. Be on guard. Praise God. I don't know if I have this one down. Yeah, that's it. This is the love script, love chapter. And it says, now this is in 1 Corinthians, we know. Now this is God's kind of love. Now, this is not us trying to make God's kind of love through our own efforts. This is God's love through us. So love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Takes no account of the evil done to it. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's out of the Amplified. I like that one because it expands. This is how God is toward us. Right? If we come to him 7 times in a day and say, I'm sorry, well, what do you think he's going to do? We're forgiven. We say, basically, well, I've forgiven you. I mean, Jesus took all the penalty already. Jesus took all the, we appropriate that, says, boy, that was wrong. We make adjustments. It's not like we're withholding anything. He already gave it. He already forgave us. He already forgave the sins of the whole world. But we can adjust ourselves here. But this is what is in us. This is the power that we have in us. This is God's love in us. This is God's love, what we can to move through. I'd encourage you to, if you want to change your heart, to look at the Amplified Version and read these verses in 1 Corinthians 13. But when you read them, it talks about love is not touchy. Love, just say I. I am not. See, you can say that. I'm not touchy. I'm not fretful or resentful. I take no account of the evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. And if you're dead, right? I mean, if you're crucified with Christ, well then, a dead body doesn't pay any attention to a suffered wrong, does it? It doesn't take offense. Doesn't do any of that. It's like, nope. But as you read through it and you see it in the first person, I believe you can say that because it's God in you. See, it's no longer, I'm crucified with Christ, but God in me. So therefore, what's in me, Jesus, I'm not touchy or fretful because I'm going to let him respond. I'll let him do this. There's another one in John. And this is like a freeing thing. John, it says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. No cause for stumbling. That stumbling is the same word, the same Greek word that's translated offend. There's no cause for offense because he's walking in love. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling. There's no place. There's no place for light. There's no place for offense. But you live in such freedom once we're free of offense. There's such freedom, but it's a lifestyle of forgiveness. Do you think Jesus forgave us? Did he forgive us completely?
Yeah.
For all sins?
Yeah.
Past?
Yeah.
Present?
Yeah.
Future?
Yeah.
Yeah. Future are also forgiven. He has an attitude of forgiveness. He has a heart of forgiveness. It's like, I'm done. It's forgiven. It's forgiven. And then one other one here, it says, great peace. This is Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. That's a powerful promise. Great peace have they who love your law. Nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Offense is deadly. Offense is the trap that Satan will use to try to hold you, to steal, kill, destroy. Forgiveness is the key to release that and move out of that. So you won't be living a life of judgment. Well, they did this, they did that, they did that. It's like, it's done. Jesus has forgiven them. I said, well, what if they don't, what if they haven't asked me to forgive them? What did Jesus do on the cross? Nobody asked him to forgive, asked him to forgive them. He said, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they do. When Stephen was being stoned to death, last thing he said, don't hold this charge against them. Release them. Forgive them. They weren't asking to be forgiven. So you forgive them. Forgive them even before. It's like you just have this attitude that if there's something, okay, I forgive them. You're going to get, you know what? You're going to get tested though. Probably before the end of the day. Maybe even during the food fellowship. When you go into the desserts and the one you wanted is gone. And you see two pieces on the plate of somebody else ahead of you. And they're not even eating it. It seems small, doesn't it? These little things, but it's the little things that'll trigger and tick and get us caught in something. And all of a sudden, I hope it comes back to your mind when you see that, when you find that back into it. And it's like, oh yeah, this is what Pastor Jim was talking about. Okay, Holy Spirit, thank you for showing me something here. I got a little adjustment. All right, I'm going to let you flow through it. Lord, bless him with that dessert. Oh Lord, I'm so glad that they got two. That's great, Lord. Thank you so much. It changes. You know, we laugh, and we should, and that's good. But it's a step. It's practicing. You practice forgiveness. You practice walking in love. You practice doing this. And just like anything else, you practice, you miss it, but you keep on. Doesn't mean you don't stop doing it. You don't stop practicing. Keep practicing. Keep doing it. Keep walking in it. If you stumble, hey. Keep going. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I believe, why don't you go ahead and stand up? I believe that the word that God was giving me wasn't just for me. And I think if you pause and ask the Lord, some of you are going to have somebody that comes to mind. Not that they're in offense. I'm thinking about they need to hear this. Somebody comes to mind that maybe has offended you or that you've taken offense against or somebody that you need to forgive. And there's something that the Lord's stirring on you, or maybe it's something that you say, you know, I need some help in this area because I'm quick to take offense. And I need correction on that. I need some help in that area. So I think if I said anybody who's ever struggling with offense, everybody could come up here. So and so I wanna qualify a little bit. Because there's some things, just close your eyes. Let's just pause. Holy Spirit, thank you for this word. This word is life that you've given us. Now, I believe you said it. You gave me this word for the people that are here, not for the people who are not here. So there's some things that you're dealing with of those of us who are here. Maybe there's some unforgiveness that you have towards yourself. You say, I can't forgive myself for what I did. But that unforgiveness will be a canker or a cancer or just a root that will destroy. It's time to get free. And the Holy Spirit would tell you, hey, it's time to get free. Forgive. So if the Lord's bringing somebody to mind, forgive them now. Forgive them. Release them. And then be free. Step out of that prison that's holding you, that prison of unforgiveness, that prison of judgment, that prison of offense. You say, I forgive him, Lord. Let the Jesus in you extend love toward them and just forgive them. Maybe you took offense at God because something didn't go the way you wanted it to. You say, let him deal with you on that. Say, I'm not going to hold this against you, God. Allow him to minister to your heart here. Allow him to heal that. Allow him to correct. Allow him to adjust. You can walk in such freedom when you walk in a lifestyle of forgiveness. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. If there's somebody that you want to release, just hold your hand up. I just want to release them. All right? It's a good time. It's a good sign just to say, I want to release them. All right, Lord. By act of our will, we release them. We forgive them. We forgive them. And now we accept your life. We let your love flow through us. Lord, we receive that healing in our hearts from what you've done, for what you have done for us. Thank you. All right, you can put your hands down. Lord, thank you. God, the prayer ministers come up. Now, maybe you're still dealing with some things, or you're not sure. I'm gonna invite you to come up to talk to our prayer ministers so they can get you free. If you're still struggling with some stuff, yeah, I say it, but I just having trouble. I still want to, whatever it is. Or if there's some other things that, man, I was really hurt. This is really, I'm still, come on up. You may need some healing in that area. Let God minister peace to you on that. So I'm going to encourage you to come on up now, and they'll pray with you. They'll minister to you so you can be free. Jesus wants you free. He wants you free. He wants you free from offense. He wants you free from the hurt that accompanies it. And so you can walk in that freedom. Praise God. So those who want more ministry, come on forward. The other one, you are released. Amen.